what you eat, eat, eat. Here's a clue, why don't you take a peek beneath your feet?
Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land on which we live. The show promotes sustainable food systems that foster community resilience and empower individuals to make positive choices for themselves, their communities and the environment. Today, though, we're chatting less about food and more about the community resilience side of things, specifically the community resilience that comes from shared responsibility for generating energy. So with me in the studio are Graham Martin and Anna Spatari. Oh, goodness gracious, I had that pronunciation perfect before. Spatari. Graham's a president and Anna a board member of Village Power, which yesterday launched the Alphington Community Battery after 8 years of community organising and political lobbying and or political collaboration or talking to the right people and getting your hands on the right money, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So welcome to you both.
Thank you,
Anne. Thanks.
Graham, what is Village Power and how did it get to the point of yesterday's battery launch in Alphington there at the, what's the name of that hub, Alphington Community Hub? Or?
Oh, it's the Alphington Farmers Market, Melbourne Farmers Market.
Yes, yes.
Greengrove Street in Alphington. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Village Power is it's an incorporated association. It's a community group, and we're now a group of sort of 45 paid-up financial members. A small group are really, we call them the delivery team and a board. But importantly, we have a community energy program, which Anna will talk about, which has so far 46 people signed up. But the story is really, and it began about 8 years ago with half a dozen people, a pizza oven and a bottle of wine, and really I got together a group of people who we call ourselves the ninjas, and that was on the advice of sort of a long-time community advocate, people who had a particular set of skills, and we wanted to take action on climate change using energy. And so I knew some people who knew other people. We gathered and sort of came up with an idea of putting in place a community-scale battery connected to the network, so that's called in front of the meter, and we spent a couple of years then sort of workshopping the idea, talking to our local energy distributor, politicians, other community groups just to refine the idea. We got funding for a feasibility study. And it was when we sort of had consolidated around what we were aiming to do in our vision, we then sort of opened it up to more community engagement and a community group and invited more people to join. Mm-hmm. And it certainly wasn't a straightforward journey, but from there we got funding out of the state government for $750,000 to implement the battery in this program, which we launched yesterday.
Right, and it certainly wasn't straightforward. So that's what's most interesting to me about this local project, actually. You know, you said straight away we had pizza and wine and then a few years of just working it out. So these things really do take leadership and persistence, don't they? They can't go, let's do this, and then not do it as soon as there's the first hurdle. And just while it's in my mind, I also think it's important to this is a kind of middle class activism in the sense that it's people who have got the skills and the connections to do these kind of things. You need to know who to talk to. And et cetera. So can you tell me things like why you had to have a board?
So if you're an incorporated association, you need to have a committee, effectively. So we call it a board because we've sort of formalised the processes. But it is middle-class activism in the sense that we felt that, look, if we can't make this work in Alphington, then it won't work anywhere, really. This is a suburb with a high penetration of solar panels. A lot of people with, a lot of technical and sort of professional skills. And I guess the people who first gathered, they had a range of sort of skills, legal, financial, engineering, And that's why they were ninjas, in the sense that they came from different perspectives, and you need all those perspectives. And the whole journey really is about you need to be open to new ideas and new relationships, really. You need to continue to snowball those relationships to bring more people in, to bring them along the journey in terms of the vision. So we set a vision very, very early on. The idea that we had to actually implement this, that changed along the way, necessarily, but the vision remained the same.
Right, yep. I really love that idea of having people with different strengths and not necessarily weaknesses, but blind spots, right? So engineers know things that lawyers don't know and vice versa. And so it's really important to be conscious of that, isn't it, to realise that you need to get that kind of team together, and then you need to not be squabbling across the paradigms of how they see things. I'll go over to you, Anna. Have you got anything to comment about any of that, or will we just go straight on to what the idea is of community energy?
Just because I came in quite late in the 8-year journey, what I was very impressed is the dedication of the people, because there's been no shortage of things that needed to change, and nobody had, I only care about this idea, right? It's like, we're open, mm-hmm. so if we have to shift, we have to shift. And that flexibility of mind is probably what attracted me in the first place, and also obviously what we're trying to achieve. But I really enjoyed where everybody is coming from and is trying to help one another to get over the hurdle that exists, so you're not stuck in, oh, but this doesn't work. So everybody's very solution-oriented, which is just great, because that's how you get things done.
Right, so you haven't got the naysayer sitting with their arms crossed at the back going, that'll never work.
No.
They weren't invited. So you just invited the people that wanted to show up and figure it out.
I mean, the naysayers have a good role to
they
play
do,
sometimes,
yes.
In the sense that they might rein you in if you have too many crazy ideas. But I think there were a lot of problems that needed to be solved, which meant that people had to think outside the box and reach out and create connections. And that's what pays off.
Mm-hmm. You said you were attracted to the openness and the willingness, almost the humility in a way, of being able to stay open to other ideas that might be foreign to you, etc. Where does that come from? Why did you bring that consciousness to the
Well, it's
party?
Really necessary if you're trying to implement something that doesn't exist. This model doesn't exist anywhere else. And you're also going against the grain in some ways, coming up with something, not just another community battery that is a solar soaker. You're actually trying to create value in the community, and we'll talk a little bit about that. You're trying to create value in the community for the people. I think that is where you need to be quite open. You don't have a blueprint and say, I'm going to do this in order to end up with that result, which means you have to be quite open.
Yeah, and that's an engineering approach, isn't it? We'll just have a blueprint and we'll just get that done. But the problem is, when you get more than three people together, you can forget about engineering anything, and it's got to be things like openness, doesn't it?
Yes, and also this is a very technical industry.
Mm-hmm.
Energy is not something that most of us mm-hmm. think. So I think some of our role is also a bit to disseminate some of that information and explain and demystify how things work. So, but it is a very strong technical element, right? So,
I've got a question there, because you used the word, it's not just another solar soaker. So that takes us right into the I'll have lots of questions about the technical stuff, because that's the stuff I don't know about. What is a solar soaker? Who would like to?
Okay, a solar soaker is what a community battery generally is viewed as, in the sense that it will charge in the middle of the day when solar is abundant, and then it will discharge in the evening when demand goes high. That's when everybody comes home. That's when everybody starts using their appliances. They come back from work. Maybe a bit less so now that a lot more people work from home. But generally, the peak is still in the evening between 5 and 9. So the battery is called solar soaker because it soaks up the sun that otherwise would be energy that would be curtailed or shouldn't use that word, they would be wasted.
Wasted, yeah.
Yeah. So then that goes into the battery to can be then be able to discharge. Mm-hmm. And because energy in the national electricity market works as a real-time matching of supply and demand,
mm-hmm.
In that case, whatever sources you have more readily available for energy, those get to be dispatched first, and then your community battery will get to be dispatched first because it's closer to the load. And in that regard, it's a solar soaker. But and all battery works like that as well, also charges in the middle of the day, but is not a passive asset in the sense that it doesn't do just that. But mm-hmm. we'll go into it a bit later.
No, well explained. Can you give an idea, a visual on the size of the battery? That was what I was most intrigued about on the way to the launch yesterday. Like, where is this thing? Where does it sit? How big is it?
Well, it's reasonably big, so... It's probably about half a shipping container in terms of size, and mm-hmm. it's outside the Sunday morning. The Offerton Farmers Market will be in full swing, and as people enter the gateway there, it's on the right hand side. But they can't fail to notice it because it's got a stunning piece of artwork on it. It's been quite an amazing week this week because Wednesday it's actually three batteries mm-hmm. at a control panel were. Craned into position onto a concrete slab, and then Thursday this artwork was wrapped around all the battery components and just finished on Friday. We had the launch yesterday.
So. A bit close to the wire.
A little bit close, yes.
But it looks great. It's not some kind of eyesore or something. It just looks like a bit of urban infrastructure sitting there all nicely decorated by the artist. We'll have a little break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
With the dirt, you'll observe it's certainly not inert. From a worm to a chicken rocker, you're never alone on the loam. And it's time to get to work. We've been looking up, we've been messing around.
The new Climate Action radio show will surprise you.
Well, first of all, I'm not a believer in global warming. I'm not a believer in man-made global warming.
And so you'll hear voices from all around Australia and overseas that are taking all types of climate action, whether it's stopping coal and gas, whether it's building a new model of society, or whether it's just sustaining you in the grief you may feel about the climate destruction we're facing. And in that spirit, here's a poem by Rumi. Stop, take a breath, for you are drunk, and we are at the edge of the roof.
This is coal. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. It's coal. It's coal. It's coal.
Tune in every Monday at 5 p.m. to hear the Climate Action Radio Show.
That was Talking Sheds, presented by the National Union of Workers. Alternative News is currently on a break and will be back in early 2014.
I don't know why that little bit of alternative news thing was there, and I don't know why it came onto my thing, but never mind. Here we are back again. We were just talking in the break about the size of that battery, and... Graham was just thinking, hang on, it's not the size of half a shipping container. So it's probably a size, how big would you say?
Look, it's about 6 metres long by a metre wide.
Oh, that's nothing.
No, yeah. It's not. Yeah. But as someone said, it's like a visual piece of art now in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. So Anna, what is how do households participate in this if you live in that area?
So the... program, so we call it Community Energy Program, can talk a bit about that as well, but the way people can participate is whether they are in the geographical area of Alphington and Fairfield, certain streets, and mainly that has to do, going back to the technical side, has to do with being on the congested lines, on the congested poles and wires in that area. And because they all go into one feeder, And oh, that, I know, I was thinking that this is going to go into...
No, this is so interesting because I just put the switch on, I've got no idea how it all works.
And I think that for a lot of the times, that's how energy should work, really. because people are on the same feeder, we can more readily measure, which is what we are trying to do, how much of the usage is green power compared to fossil fuel power. And that gives us the chance because it's like a node. It's a node that you can control a little bit. So people have to be in that geographical area. But in terms of participating, that's it. There's nothing else. If you have solar panels, you can participate. If you have solar panels and battery, you can participate. If you have an EV, you can participate. If you live in an apartment, if you are renting and some of these renewable energy infrastructure is something you cannot you cannot install at your home. If you're young, if you're old, if you have high energy literacy, if you have low, it doesn't really matter. We want everybody, and I think part of the way we wanted to design this program was also to be very inclusive. The way I like to say that the battery is a great equalizer, in the sense that you don't have to have all of these things in order to participate, because if you were to think everybody having their own battery in their home is not very efficient, right? Mm-hmm. So if you were to have more community batteries, then more people that cannot afford can have access to this abundant power that otherwise gets wasted. So anybody, as long as they are in the geographical area.
Amazing. What was I going to ask you, Graham? Where do you see it? Is it scalable? Can you scale it up? Where do you see the future of this?
Well, so what we're doing, and we're aiming to recruit up to 100 people into this program, and so we're partway through that now. And if people go to our website, they can apply to join the program that Anna just talked about. And so that 100 people are really going to be a virtual trial for something that we think should happen sort of right across the energy networks. And so we'll be reporting on the success of this and reporting this to government, because we think it should happen far more broadly. And the mechanisms that we're using for recording and reporting it, what we call community energy, which is new, we're keen to share that with other community groups. And so we encourage not only people locally to apply to this program, but for other community groups who want to do something similar in their areas and demonstrate that they can do that, to see our website, come and talk to us, and sort of implement something similar. But of course, they won't be exactly the same, because all community groups will want to do something that's sort of unique to them.
And that's the whole thing. That's the whole wonderful thing about localization, isn't
exactly
it?
Exactly so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I had another thought there, which is
I think the other thing from a Village Power point of view, so we've spent a lot of time working towards yesterday, this launch, and if you like, that was the end of the first sort of stage of Village Power, but really it's just the beginning of the next stage, because now the battery is really just the means to an end. It enables us to have this community energy program, and really it's there to enable us to run this program, and we're intending to do that for the next 5 years. And it means, as a group, rather than just focusing on getting that sort of battery on the ground, we now have to sort of move our focus then into sustaining and engaging people in this program. And that's quite a different shift. And that's the sort of the next set of challenges, really.
Is that a harder job in some ways? Is there a feeling of you can let out some, have a deep breath now and relax? Is it going to be harder to maintain that enthusiasm now?
I think in a way it's a different set of motivations. It is easier in some ways to focus on building something. I think it is more difficult to actually maintain the sort of that level of motivation and enthusiasm to engage people. But that's a shift as a organisation, as a board and a small team of people involved in sort of what we've called delivery. Now it's sort of delivery becomes operation.
And you'll have expertise within your group about how to manage that kind of thing too.
Well, and we'll find that expertise.
You'll find it if you know what you need and you know where to find it.
Well, not necessarily, but that's the nature of our journey. You know, when in some senses it's just in time skills, really. People come to us and say, I could do this, and you say, hey, that's terrific, we can add you in.
Mm-hmm. I saw a post the other day that I really thought a lot about an EV charging station done by a local council. And they said, wow, you know, they had that magical moment. Everybody came up, cut the ribbon. It was beautiful. But now, it's 8 months later, it sits there, it's unutilized. Yeah. The cables don't always work. It comes up as unavailable. So he said, okay, so we had all this effort and money that went into it, and then it gets wasted. So I think by designing a program that is not just about the battery, but it's about education, it's about behavioral change, we actually will have a lasting effect in this community. But also, how do you put it together? So I like to think that while the new shiny kit is there in the ground and is beautiful and it will attract views, it will attract opinions, it will attract interest, I think that that is actually now a lightning rod for change and for doing something, because they can see it. It's not so conceptual anymore. Mm-hmm. And we can explain some of the conceptual things while having, again, the reports through the community energy program that we want to generate, which will tell them the percentage of local generated power through some assumptions as well as through meter data. Then we can actually say, hey, this is how you're doing. This is, I think, I don't remember exactly the number, Graham, was it 54% at the community level is community energy?
Something like that. Something like that. In our first cut.
54%. Well, that's significant.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Still a long way to go to our mission of 100%. But that's the kind of thing that people will be able to understand and see is not just, and because we engage them, you know, almost monthly, we have events. It's very easy to we won't fall off their minds, because we'll email them and be like, hey, you have to participate, and we're doing this, and come along to that. So I think that ongoing engagement, it's another clever way to actually keep the pressure on and move the ship forward, not just we've have a beautiful piece of equipment.
I'm reminded of the expression, knowledge is power. If you know what you're talking about, then you can engage with it. We've only got a minute left. Graham, would you like to say the main thing that needs to be said in that one minute?
Our website is villagepower, one word, .com.au. And so please have a look at the website, join up on the program, inquire on the resources there. And reach out if you've got an interest in doing this in your area, then please make contact with us.
So you've got all that experience to draw on for people that you're willing to offer to other people.
We are.
All right, that's
villagepower.com.au.
Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in today. It wasn't long enough, but it was kind of long enough to get some important information out. So thank you.
And thank you very much for the opportunity. It's been great.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd like to also thank all the Local Food Connect and Local Food Connection. Local Food Connect are participants through the Eltham Farmers Market and the Local Food Connect website, and also all listeners of Local Food Connections for donating so generously to our Radiothon show, which was in fact last week and which met its target. So thank you so much. But 3CR still needs another approximately $150,000 to keep going for the next year. So we're not done. So please, if you'd like to participate in this community radio station, please feel free to keep sending money in every day on the phone or on the website. You've been listening to Local Food Connections on 3CR, and we've been chatting with Graham Martin and Anna Spataru. You can contact them and find out more at about Village Power, the Alphington Community Battery and the Alphington Fairfield Community Energy Program by going to villagepower.com.au. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus and take care of each other. Remember to support independent media and stay tuned now to 3CR for more radical radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.